You know what, Kyle? It was a no-risk gamble. That didn't pay off. Vitali Kravtsov is bolting back to the KHL, but guess what? We're not bolting anywhere. It's Begsy and it's Bowen, and you're listening to Locked On Canucks.
You're Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and thanks for hitting the play button on today's episode of Locked On Canucks. My name is Trevor Beggs, Canucks writer and credentialed media member for Daily Hive Vancouver. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. And before we dive into today's show, we want to thank you for listening to Locked On Canucks, your team every day. Make sure you subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. On today's episode, we're going to talk about Vitali Kravtsov bolting back to Russia, signing a two-year deal in the KHL, according to reports. And we're also going to look back at some draft busts from 2014 to 2019. How many top 10 busts have there been in the past few NHL drafts? But first and foremost, someone who could never be labeled a bust, Kyle Bowen. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, Squamish. Post-Shuswap Lake trip. With the boys, houseboating trip, just a weekend full of bro activities and a lot of laughter and shout out to friendship and shout out to lifelong friendship. You know, you and I talk about our friendship and how, you know, we're entering, you know, the 10 to 15 year range of our friendship. I was with the boys, you know, one of my homies I've known for 25 years and the other two for what, I think 17 years. So you can only imagine the times and the laughs. I'm doing good. I feel refreshed. I also feel a little frustrated, okay? This has nothing to do with Kravtsov. Has something else to do with the Canucks. We'll get to that maybe in a couple minutes. But we got to save the best for last, okay? Too much Kyle Bowen talking here. Too much Trevor Beggs talking here. We're here for the fans, right? Locked On Canucks, your team every day. We'll get to the comments at the end of the show. I really liked one of these comments. We'll save it for the end. But let's talk about this, man. This guy bolts to the KHL, no longer a Vancouver Canuck. They can still retain his rights if they want to, you know, still do that and have him in their arsenal a couple years from now. But all in all, I'm not surprised at all. And B, I don't really care.
Yeah, I think, you know, everydayers know this, but I think you and I both predicted that Kravtsov was not going to be on this team next season. Like, the writing was just on the wall, you know. He comes to Vancouver, he's got lots of opportunity in front of him and just, he just lacked hockey sense, man. He lacked hockey sense. He lacked speed. You know, he's supposed to be a dynamic puck distributor. And you just didn't really see any of that in Vancouver. There were flashes here and there. But at the end of the day, one goal, one assist in 16 games. Like, it was a disappointing season for Kravtsov. I know we're in player review season. I'd be giving this guy, you know, like a solid D-minus. For maybe not quite a fail, but a solid D-minus for his performance with the Canucks this season. And Rick Tocchet called him out. He basically said this guy needs to work harder. And I guess Kravtsov said, never mind that. I'm just going to go to Russia, make an easy paycheck, and probably be one of the best players in the league. So this isn't the end for Kravtsov necessarily. I know we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, Kyle, but like, is Will Lockwood or Kravtsov going to play more NHL games? And it could be Will Lockwood from here on out. But just it remember, you know, like, a guy like, well, just think, hear me out. A guy like Andrei Kuzmenko, okay? Not to say Kuzmenko and Kravtsov are the same players. But, you know, it's not unheard of that a guy like Kravtsov could find his game in the KHL. And in 2 years' time, you know, the Canucks might probably going to qualify him as an RFA, retain his rights. Maybe there's a chance in 2 years' time that, you know, he's become a top flight player in the KHL. This guy, again, was a KHL Rookie of the Year in his draft year. So, and, you know, there's some tools there, but we just didn't see enough of it in Vancouver. And there's too many wingers on this team anyways, man, okay? Like, I don't know if Kravtsov was going to even make this team if he stayed in Vancouver, to be honest with you, especially with Hoglander and Pod Colson around too.
Yeah, and I get where you're coming from, right? It's never too late. And, you know, you and I, right? Late bloomers. So we have to give the benefit of the doubt to people like Kravtsov, who's a professional athlete, you know, a first-round pick. He's done a couple good things in this thing called his professional career, his professional hockey career. Yeah, I hope that he can figure this out. I do hope so. Again, I'm just not surprised. Begsy, you know what happened this weekend, man? I got to say it right now. We're not going to spend 10 minutes talking about Vitali Kravtsov, okay? You know what happened to me, man? I was on the lake, and somebody came up to me. It was during this beach party, right? I'm surrounded by Canadians, like 30 Canadians around the two speakers, and we're just having a great time, jamming out, doing our thing. And I met some sports fans, and somebody came up to me and was like, "Yo, did you?" This was before game three. I know the Florida Panthers are up 3-0 now. Someone came up to me and was like, "Yo, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened with the game? The Canes and the Panthers? Florida won. They're up 2-0. And the first thing I thought of was, oh my God, it's going to happen. We talked about this years ago on other shows, bro. The Florida Panthers are going to win a Stanley Cup before the Vancouver Canucks. And I know comparison is the thief of joy, but I'm feeling ultimate petty right now. And then you had Vegas up 2-0 in their series. Bro, it's going to happen. Florida and Vegas are going to be the best in this great sport called hockey before the Vancouver Canucks could ever claim that title. And I'm not having it, bro. I'm not having it. And that's why right away, immediately, next season matters. It matters. October, November, they got to matter. We need some wins here. I'm done talking about Vitali Kratsov in May for non-hockey reasons, kind of, sort of, non-NHL reasons. I'm done with stuff like this. I'm done with assuming. I'm also done with being petty, but again, comparison is a thief of joy, and it's all over the place. Florida is 5 wins away from winning a Stanley Cup before the Vancouver Canucks. Vegas is 6 wins away, and Vegas has been here for 14 months in the league. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's tough being a Canucks fan, you know. And,
yeah,
and shout out to the everydayers, the first time listeners, people of all kinds, listen to the pod because it takes a lot of mental fortitude to be a Canucks fan. Like I've said it time and time again, the Canucks are the most cursed franchise in NHL history, potentially in sports history. You know, it's been a lot of sadness, a lot of negativity in this market. And I know what you're saying, like next season matters, but I also just want to see this team build the right way. Like, I just want to see a cup in my lifetime. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think I'd like to see good hockey on a consistent basis, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about winning the Stanley Cup. I like to see a Stanley Cup in my lifetime, and I like to see this team, you know, build the right ways to do that. And I think both you and I have questions about if they're actually building the right way right now in terms of, you know, rushing things forward, trading first and second round picks, considering where they are in the standings. So, yeah, a lot irks me right now. I try to look at, like, what Vegas and Florida are doing, and obviously we're trying to compare them to the Canucks a bit. But, you know, Florida's had a really good team for a while, and it kind of helped right now that their goaltending got hot and really helped put things together. But you know, they got a good team. They got a bit of a mean team, which I think you need in the postseason. And Vegas, man, like, you know, Vegas is just something. Vegas is just something else, man.
Yeah.
Came into this league hot and killed the expansion draft and have just been using leverage ever since. So
yeah,
it's tough, man. It's tough. I try not to think about this negativity too much, but it's hard, man.
Dude, it's sad, bro. I never thought that this was going to happen, man. And you touched on it, right? We don't have to touch on it too much with Vegas because I think it's pretty obvious that they just know what they're doing. And from the get-go, they've just been a winning team again. They've already been to as many Western Conference Finals as the Canucks have been in 50-plus years, okay? For real. Florida, you mentioned it, right? They've been winning recently, right? Over the last 3, 4, 5 years, whether players are moving in and out. I think culturally speaking, from the top down, they know what they're doing and they know how to win games. This all being said, I saw a stat. You know, they had 1 point less than the Calgary Flames did this season. And now they're what? 5 wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. So there's a fine line there.
Yeah.
And I think for some Canucks fans, and this is not necessarily me. I know I'm saying, you know, next season matters. I'm not trying to put that out there. And if it happens, it happens. I'm not trying to put it out there just to say, like, oh, we can win the cup next year. But when I see Florida do their thing, right, and their recipe for this success this season has been their best players being their best players, and now you get, like, some unreal level of goaltending, and that's a recipe that could work for the Vancouver Canucks too. It could. But at the same time, I do understand that there's a good chance that Florida is the outlier. It's not going to be a repeating case that this – is going to happen. You know, it's a lot. A lot is going on in my mind. I'm sorry, Vitali Kratsov. You know, we led with you and we lasted 3 minutes, but it's wow. It's going to happen. Florida is going to win a Stanley Cup before the Vancouver Canucks. And I saw their watch party. And again, comparison is a thief of joy, but it just goes to show you, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, bro? It's a city/market that, yeah, don't get me wrong, they care they care. Some people care for hockey there, but over the 2.5 decades or 3 decades that they've been in the league, it's just like, come on, do they deserve this? Do they deserve this? What do we deserve?
No, and Vegas doesn't deserve their success either. But life ain't fair, Kyle. We know that as Canuck fans, and you know sometimes, and I kind of want to get to some players who are bust on the other side here, but. You know, sometimes you pick a player with that top 10 pick and you're just like, yes, we've set our franchise, put our franchise in a great spot moving forward, and it just doesn't work out. You got to hit on those top 10 picks, and hey, Florida's done that. Maybe not so much Vegas. Vegas is a different story, but, you know, Florida's hit on a couple of those high picks in terms of Barkov and Ekblad, but maybe let's touch on some busts on the other side and how that's changed things. But first, Kyle, I need to ask, have you ever been stressed out by buying tickets at the last minute? Don't even answer, man. I know you have, okay? I know that you have. You know, I'm a big last-minute deals guy, and I've found that the best place for killer deals at the last minute is Game Time. You know, Game Time, they got my back. I get these emails from Nicole at Game Time, and she's always teasing me with concerts and events this week in my area. Not only are those weekly emails a tease, but Game Time offers me flash deals on last-minute tickets. What's even better than that is that they have a lowest price guarantee along with event protection cancellation. Now I have no choice but to get up my rear end and check out our show on a Friday night. Let me tell you a little bit about the Game Time guarantee. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you with 110% of the difference. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time. Use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Shout out to Game Time and shout out to my right hand that made a big production miscue right there. I removed Trevor for the stream for like half a second while doing that ad read. So I'm going to give Game Time another couple seconds here. Use Game Time, find last minute deals, and just go to the games. Have a good time, okay? Shout out to Game Time. Shout out to Locked On Canucks, Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs, your team every day. Your team, the Vancouver Canucks. Your team is going to have to watch Florida, the Panthers, that fan base, celebrate something that we've been dreaming about for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades plus. Unreal, man. It's growing up as a young chap, following this team, you know, I guess in 05, 06, 07, that's when Luongo comes to Vancouver from Florida. And there was that large, like, time where even when Luongo was there, empty seats everywhere. Why does Florida have a team? And then fast forward a decade and a half later, and they're close, man. They're close to doing something that I've always wanted to do. And, yeah, I'm sad, man. I'm sad. Okay, let's talk more about these busts that Trevor Beggs wants to talk about. Okay, walk me off the ledge. Let's do this, Beggsy.
Yeah, so I really got thinking about this with the news about Kratsov bolting to Russia. You know, how many busts have there been in the top 10 of NHL drafts over the past few years? So I was going to use 2015 to 2019, but I snuck 2014 in there as well because I think that was a pretty big year for Canucks in terms of Benning's first draft, and I think we know what happened in the top 10 there. But let's go through it. So in 2014, I have three busts in the top 10. It was Michael Dalcol of the Islanders, Jake Virtanen of the Canucks, Hayden Fleury, drafted by Carolina. He's now a depth defenseman in Seattle. You know, one thing I've noticed going through this too is that, like, I want to say there's an average on two busts in the top 10 every draft, which is interesting. 2015, I think, was the only year where there wasn't really a bust in the top 10. Again, that was a stacked draft. You know, I think looking back at it, Dylan Strom going ahead of like Mitch Marner and Zach Werenski and Timo Meier, Mikko Rantanen, that kind of stuff. You know, that shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have happened. But that's probably the only draft in these six that I've mentioned here where there were no busts in the top 10. 2016, the Canucks pop up again, of course. Yoel Levy drafted fifth overall. Mm-hmm. Alex Nylander going to Buffalo at eighth overall. You know, Buffalo trying to capture some of the Nylander magic that their division rivals, the Leafs, got, but they didn't get any there. 2017, I have Cody Glass. I know he's kind of turned around his career a bit in Nashville. Elias Anderson, who's basically like a depth player for the Kings right now. I didn't want to include Nolan Patrick in there because Nolan Patrick, again, with the migraine issues and everything, I didn't think that was quite fair to call him a bust. The guy's missed like two full seasons of hockey in his young career now. So that's disappointing. 2018, Filip Zadina, 6th overall. Thank you, Detroit, for not taking Quinn Hughes. And Kratsov went 9th overall in that draft. And then finally in 2019, probably a bit too early on these guys, but I have Alex Turcotte, a ton of injury issues. So similar to Patrick, but he's only played 12 NHL games in his career so far after going 5th overall. And then maybe I'll end on this. Vasily Podkolzin drafted 10th overall in 2019. I'm not saying he's a bust right now. Is he in danger of becoming a bust, Kyle?
That's a great question, man. That's a great question. And again, for the fourth or fifth time, next season matters. And if it's going to matter, and there's going to be some importance, some money on these games, some substance to these games in October, November, December, February, Podkolzin is going to have to bring something to the table because they're capped out. There's going to be wingers moving, and they're going to need a winger to step up. And, dude, it's only right. You know, that's the type of stuff, and we've seen it already, that anchors teams, right? When you just miss on these picks. And you mentioned Virtanen, Juolevi, Podkolzin. Now you're mentioning him in this mix too. Bro, this guy needs to step up next season. He needs to be that complete player. He needs to add some offensive punch to his game. And it's one step at a time, but I don't know about you, but the one thing I want to see from him is being noticeable every single game. And I think we noticed that, especially at the latter end of the season prior to this one that just finished. But last season, or the one that just finished, I'm sorry, was weird. It was weird. You just look like a player that didn't have any confidence. Things weren't going his way. And I think you're allowed, especially as a top 10 pick, to maybe have one of those runs in the early stages of your career. Because again, this team needs Podkolzin to be an everyday factor on this team and just be that guy and then some that we saw again in the latter end of two seasons ago with Boudreau. Do you believe in that can be the case? And I think we got to look for solutions here instead of just talking about it. Who does he play with to allow him to be that guy? Because he does need a little bit of a push. Don't get me wrong. It's on the players. You know, accountability is a big thing this season. But does he need to be with JT Miller full-time? Does he need to be with Pettersson full-time for this to happen?
Yeah, Podkolzin, I think, has to show a bit more to be with Pettersson full-time. But I love the idea of him playing with JT Miller. That being said, I think Tocchet will say the same thing during training camp. Podkolzin's got to earn it. Mm-hmm. Right, and he's got the ability to do that. I mean, we saw in his rookie season, the guy works his tail off, you know, and the defensive details of his game in year one were great. It was just he seemed to lose confidence this past season. I think ideally what the Canucks need is a really solid third line center, and then Podkolzin can kind of play on a line like that, you know, where they're not necessarily relied on to score so much, but like bring energy, bring intensity, maybe that typical like third line grinder role. Where you can produce a bit of offense. I mean, that's kind of the ideal spot for Podkolzin. But again, the Canucks need that third line center in terms of making that happen.
That can't be the ideal role for Podkolzin. He needs to. He got drafted when 2019 to next year is
2019 10th overall. It'll be his draft plus 5 season.
There you go, dude. Rip it up. Take that next step. You know, different type of players, and if we use this metric, we're going to have to wait a couple more years, you know, for Podkolzin to do what we want him to do. But remember how Valerie Nichushkin,
yep.
Again, high pick. It took him way longer than 5 years to really figure it out. But we need that type of impact from a guy like Podkolzin. And ideally, dude, we want this guy in our top 6, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, ideally, yes. I'm setting. I know you're here, and I'm here just being realistic and setting the bar a bit lower. I mean,
I know.
I hope you're right. I hope Podkolzin does prove he's a top 6 player, but right now, I'm hesitant to say that. One more thing I wanted to mention on this little bust segment here. You know, of all the players I listed there, and there was 11 including Podkolzin, but we'll say 10 busts. In the 6 drafts I listed, only two teams had multiple busts, and they were the Vancouver Canucks and the New York Rangers.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
I'm just saying, drafting matters, man. Drafting matters. I know a team like Vegas has been able to get by, But a team like the Rangers is another example. I know they were able to sign Panarin, and that was a big part of their success. But, you know, it's you got to draft well. You got to hit on top 10 picks. And that was something the Benning era failed to do. So lots of failure in Vancouver, but hopefully brighter days ahead. And speaking of brighter days ahead, you know, we got the comments on the other side, okay? That's always good size when those commenters talk about how great we are, right? Or ripping us.
Yeah.
Love to hear from them.
Of course. Locked on Canucks, Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. Beggsy bringing the a bit of pessimism on today's episode. Maybe he's fired up because he's getting roasted for one of the articles he wrote for Daily Hive. And he mentioned this in a previous video, right? The seven players that we could acquire for someone like Brock Besser to potentially fill up that third line center spot. He wrote that article, put it in words, put it out there, and now he's known as the worst Canucks insider in the game. I want to read some of those comments, okay, Begsy? Pull out
a badge, buddy.
Okay? I know it's for the Locked On Canucks people. We'll get to that first. We'll save that for first. But maybe for the last minute of the show, the last 60 seconds, let's roast Trevor Beggs, okay? You're listening to Locked On Canucks. You're back on Locked On Canucks. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs, doing our thing for the people. You, and you, right? Your team every day. Shout out to the everydayers. My favorite time of the show, Comment Corner, right? Y'all making me happy with a couple of these comments. The first one's really cool, okay? There's this guy who said, the one dude sounds like a cartoon character, obviously was talking about me. His name is Elvis. And somebody named Hayden Cluton mentioned that it grows on you, and he loves it now. So somebody loves my voice after it grew on him, which is, that's beautiful, man. I might name my kid Hayden or Cluton, for real. 100%.
Cluton Bowen.
Yeah, that's something else. That's Cluton Bowen is like the 14th forward on an NHL roster. He really is, man. He really is. Next comment, we got something from IQ. He wants us to call him IQ. I'm not going to read the whole comment, but we did talk about how Todd Bertuzzi, you know, being such an impactful player, one of the most polarizing players, one of the most standout players in his time, it allowed Begsy and I to become Canucks fans because he was representing our city and the team that played down the road. IQ mentioned how Burré did the same thing for him. And I would love to know if more and more people do compare Pavel Burré's speed to McDavid's as far as being that guy who was just way faster, maybe twice as fast as anyone in the league. I'm not saying Burry's as good as McDavid. I'm just talking about the speed component of the game. I wonder if more of that is being brought to mind when, again, watching Connor McDavid do his thing. Go check out that episode, okay? I think I might have uploaded it wrong or something. Not a lot of plays. It is what it is. Or maybe people didn't like it. It is what it is. But we talked about how we became Canucks fans. Hey, speaking of those fans, Begsy, it's time to read some of these comments roasting you, okay? And just get some context, too, before we get out of here, okay? More context about the article, Besser for Centers, the comments, boom.
Yeah, so again, every dares are aware of this, but it was about a month ago now where we did an episode about trading Brock Besser for seven pricey third-line centers. So I tweaked it a bit. I added an extra name, and I turned it into an article for Daily Hive. And yeah, there's a few commenters that weren't happy about it, okay? You know, they don't like the fact that, you know, that the Canucks, again, they're all in for next season, okay? And it's fair not to like that. But a type of move like this, it might be the best case scenario, which is really saying something. But, you know, it might be better to try to get a player who fits into that third line center spot, trading a top six winger to do that, rather than buying out Besser, Garland, or coming back in the next season with Sheldon Dries or Nils Amon as your third line center. So we'll see if it actually happens. Like I have a hard time seeing, with, you know, the premium placed on centers, that a trade like this could happen, but never say never. You know, again, Brock Besser, Connor Garland, they are players with value. Again, the value is just depressed on a weak winger market here. Kyle, what do you think? Are you feeling the hate from some of these comments?
No, I'm not feeling the hate. Okay, come on, guys. Again, to each their own. And I kind of like when Trevor gets hate on. I'm not going to lie. He's a nice guy. It's kind of nice to see him thrown in the hot water. But remember, Begsy and I are older individuals, man. Okay? So instead of just putting all of our time into hoping the Canucks should do things this way and that way and this way and that way, because we spent the better part of our 20s doing that, we're just kind of following what the team's kind of indicated to us, and it's pretty obvious that they're all in. So they're not going to make moves that cater towards picking up draft picks. And also, they have bad contracts on their team. Nobody's going to help out the Vancouver Canucks. So the hockey trade that's going to be made is probably, most likely, undoubtedly, going to be bad contract for bad contract. Let's hope this works out for us, you know? Both teams are going to be thinking the same thing. It's just the truth. Let's hope that Besser, when we get him, plays over his value or just matches that value. Whatever center we get that has a bad contract, let's hope that this person that's now filling up a role that we need on the team plays to the value of his contract. We're not hoping, again, that the Canucks are going to shed salary. We're not hoping that because it's a waste of time. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. If they would have done it, they would have done it in the first, 20 months on the job. And a big reason why they can't do it, well, there's two big reasons. A, they don't want to, and B, they can't.
Yeah, well, the Canucks are cornered right now. They're a little cornered animal. The market knows that they need to clear cap space, and no one's going to give it to them for free, unfortunately. So, like I said, it might have to be that typical hockey trade, right? Like, you're trading a top six winger for a third line center.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, the Canucks have too many wingers, not enough centers. Like, that's a move like that is something they need to consider, whether fans like it or not.
Yeah, it's 100%. And I think the Canucks and their management group is going to double down on this chase for next season mattering, and they're going to believe in that. Their philosophy and their due diligence on professional scouting is going to work out. Like, they're going to take a swing. It's going to be a bad contract for a bad contract to fill up that third line spot. And they're going to hope it works out. Will it work out? We don't know. But it's what this team kind of cornered themselves into doing. And remember, they should buy out OEL to make next season matter a bit more. But they're not going to do it. They mentioned it. They're not going to do it. In this economy, is Aquilini going to pay how much money to OEL to not do anything after paying Benning and Green to not do anything? You know what I'm saying? After paying Tortorella not to do anything? I think what you wrote, it may piss people off, but I could definitely see it happen.
Yeah, we'll see. And honestly, I'd prefer something like that. Depending on the actual deal, I'd prefer something like that as opposed to buying out those two players, Besser, Garland, or, as we had a commenter suggest, trading like Besser in the 11th overall pick for the 19th overall pick.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I prefer a hockey trade over something like that for sure. But you're right, Kyle. I did bring a bit of negativity to the show today, talking about Bus, calling up the Canucks. Then you talked about the Panthers potentially winning the cup. There's some negativity today.
Florida.
So later this week, what did I say? The Panthers? Yes.
Florida. No. You did say it, but I'm just saying Florida. Yeah. The Florida Panthers are going to win a Stanley. Bro, not that it matters, but tickets to their Eastern Conference Finals games are like $120. That just goes to show you how much of a demand it is. And they're going to win a Stanley Cup. It's we got the best fans in the world.
We should almost fly to Florida for tickets like that,
It just pisses me off, man. Anyways.
Yeah, like I said, a bit of negativity on the show today. So, I think later this week, let's touch on some good things about the Canucks. And what's good about the Canucks? It's Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, baby. So I kind of want to get into their stories in the player reviews later this week. In terms of Pettersson, will he finish as the greatest Canuck of all time? Let's have that conversation.
Ooh.
And with Quinn Hughes, he deserved Norris love this season. But let's put his season into context. Where does it rank among the best seasons among a defenseman in Canucks history? Was it the best? Who knows, man? You're only going to find out by tuning in to Locked On Canucks. So a quick shout out to the Everydayers. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. We love you. Stay a little while because we got 5 shows coming out every week because it's Locked On Canucks, your team every day. Thanks for listening. I'm Trevor Beggs. That guy's Kyle Bowen. And we'll catch you next time on Locked On Canucks.
You're Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.